Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, the only show that takes a look at the obstacles and opportunities open to small to mid-sized enterprises that manufacture here in America. Brought to you by All Metals and Forge Group, with your hosts, Tim Grady and Lou Wise.
Welcome, everyone, to Manufacturing Talk Radio. We are here today with two guests from the Institute of Supply Management, who we will introduce shortly. Before we get to our guests and a very special report that they put out every year at this time, I'd like to go to Lou, my co-host. Lou, how are you today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thanks for asking.
Great.
I wanted to give a little postscript before we get into the show regarding last week's show. And we had last week discussions regarding American manufacturing and the comeback, and will it sustain for and for how long, and perhaps today ISM can even address some of those issues. But last week we were very fortunate to have Kevin Wolf from Powell Manufacturing in Phoenix, Arizona. And we had Karen Norheim, who's Vice President of American Crane in Philadelphia. And I'm not sure about Philadelphia. I know it was Pennsylvania. We had Don Ringel of Warner Communications, who was spokesperson for Linda Regano of ThomasNet, who unfortunately had a personal emergency and was not on the show, but she has been in the past and will be again in the future. The show is worth listening to. It's up on our website at mfgtalkradio.com, and it's talking a lot about what's going on in the nation now with regards to reshoring and millennials and jobs and so on. And today we are going to be, our news story today is the ISM annual 2015 financial forecast. And Tim, I'll let you do the intros.
Great. We have both Brad Holcomb, who is the chair of the Manufacturing Report on Business with the Institute of Supply Management, and joining us shortly will be his counterpart for the non-manufacturing report on business. That's Tony Nieves. Brad, how are you today?
I'm just fine, thank you. It's great to be here, and we have a good report and forecast for 2015 to discuss.
Good. And Tony, how are you doing out there on the West Coast?
Great, thank you.
You got the warm weather in San Diego or wherever you are?
Los Angeles. It's very nice, about 65 degrees right now.
Oh, look at that.
Any boats floating around out there?
Well, Brad, let's get right
into it. It's 50 in Dallas, so it's a little cooler here.
Well, let's get right into the annual forecast. This is, I know you gentlemen have been busy this morning. You've been on the Wall Street Journal Radio, Wall Street Journal. I guess you've got Bloomberg on your docket today. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Brad, why don't you jump into the manufacturing side and feel free to toss it back and forth with Tony for the non-manufacturing input, because these really two dovetail together. And I'll stay out of the way.
Good. Well, again, this is Brad Holcomb. Let me just set the table here for manufacturing and for the forecast overall. We have reported consistently this year, each month, positive trend in manufacturing with the PMI at 58.7 in November, which is just 0.3 off its high point of 59, which we saw twice this year, but haven't seen a 59 in about 3 years. So November was a very, very solid number. And our forecast now that we're reporting on talks about a continuation and an expansion of that growth into 2015, with revenues on the manufacturing side expected to be 5.6% up compared to a reported 3.6% increase for 2014. So a nice gain and expansion expected for 2015 on the manufacturing side. And we'll talk about some of those highlights in a few minutes. Tony, over to you.
Well, when you look at non-manufacturing, as we've recovered from the recession, it's been 58 consecutive months of growth for the composite, and it was slow, sustainable growth out of the gate. And over the past several months, we've seen a very large or substantial increase in the composite index month over month, now at 59.3, and business activity at 64.4. These are all November's numbers. And it's continued on as we look at the semiannual forecast, as our respondents feel quite good about what's going on in the economy and overall business conditions. They currently are forecasting that business revenues will go up 10% in 2015, which is very high. And when you look at previous forecasts, and their operating rate is currently at 87.6, which really reflects a strong efficiency in the respective companies. And the capacity to produce has also gone up to 3.6%. So when you look at, and we'll drill further into this, but when you look at overall the non-manufacturing sector, it's very robust.
And Brad, how about capital expenditures and capacity utilization on the manufacturing side?
Yeah, our operating rate or capacity utilization is at 83.7, and it's gone up from a year ago at 80.3. So 83.7 is a strong number, and it's approaching what we normally think of as, fully loaded, and that would be 85%. So we can expect some increases in capital expenditure, and I'll come back to that in a minute for the year as a result of our bullish forecast. Production capacity did increase in 2014 by 5.3%, and it's expected to increase 5.6% more, a very similar number to 2014, next year in 2015. And those gains in capacity will be achieved with the following four strategies. Number one is additional personnel. Number two is more hours worked. And number three is added plants and equipment. And four, technical advancements. Okay.
And Tony,
capital
how about
expenditure?
Let me continue
with capital expenditures, very related to production capacity and operating rate, of course. In 2014, a very large expenditure of 14.7%, beating the April forecast of 10.3%. So a strong year this current year in capital expenditures to increase capacity and to make things more efficient. For 2015, the expectation is at 3.7%. However, that number does become fluid as the year progresses, and if we continue to see growth, then the chief financial officers will no doubt open up the purse strings, and there'll be more capital expenditures.
And Tony, on your side, what are the key strategies the non-manufacturing sector is looking at for their growth?
Well, it's very similar to what we see in manufacturing. Additional personnel is number one. More hours worked with existing personnel, and additional plant or equipment, and replacing equipment with technically advanced equipment. So very, very similar, as I said, to manufacturing and how they look to increase capacity for the non-manufacturing sector.
And just for our listeners, Tony, who may not understand the difference between the manufacturing and the non-manufacturing, particularly when you talk about equipment, What's the difference? But how do you folks at ISM divide those two out?
Well, when you look at non-manufacturing, it's the 18 industries that are most often referred to as service-type industries. When you look at what comprises that, for instance, there's agricultural, forestry, fishing, and hunting is one sector or one industry within the sector. You have a combination in food services, professional scientific and technical services. These are the type of companies. And they also, even though they're not manufacturing or producing, say, tangible goods as an output, they are, however, utilizing equipment in producing the type of services or deliverables that they have as for respective companies within these industries. And, for an example, it could be anything from an information system platform to a new ERP. It could be something along the lines of whatever they're producing. And say if there it's a wholesale distribution is one of those industries that are part of this sector. And it could be anything from innovation in their logistics to, materials handling, anything along those lines. So that kind of gives you a little bit of the delineation there.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And in your their annual forecast, I see that you're forecasting a 4.2% growth in terms of capital expenditures, which is higher than a year ago, but it's still less than the 10.8% in April. I guess we had a very good year last year, and as Brad was saying, we have a very good year this year, the purse strings will open up, and that 4.2% number could go higher. Is that correct?
Well, it could very well, but the forecast right now is such that, 10.8 was, I thought, back then was, wow, that was very, very confident of our respondents to feel that way. And quite frankly, it may have started out that way and leveled off a bit by year end. And even at what we're forecasting now, around the 4%, the 3.8% increase in 2015, that is still not a bad number considering, back when we were in the recessionary period, we were lucky to see 2% or just flat year over year for capital expenditure.
And Brad, how does this look for, 2015, the overall report? I'd like to go into it in a little more depth because I think capital expenditure certainly is an area that everybody kind of watches to see if that picks up. And also prices. How are prices looking for your report?
Yeah, a couple more of the specifics. Again, an overall very optimistic outlook where 93% of our respondents are predicting that 2015 will be the same or better than 2014. Some of the details there is that prices of raw materials are expected to increase 1.5%, very, very similar to this year, and very, very much controlled and modest price increases on the input side. Then on the labor and benefit side, they're expecting a 3.2% increase in 2015, which is about a point higher than we have experienced this year. And if you look at those cost increases, compare that what we mentioned about revenue increases of 5.6%, that all adds up to an expansion in profit margins for our companies, which allows them to reinvest in their businesses, to have the opportunity to put more capital into it. And again, we'll see how the year progresses as to whether that number of 3.7% capital expenditure increases as a result. But the numbers are certainly lining up for an expansion in profit margin, healthy companies, which we all like to see.
And Brad, just for our listeners, am I correct that this is the same body of respondents that you use throughout the year to develop the monthly reports?
Yes, exactly. We have all of our panelists sprinkled throughout the 18 different sectors in manufacturing. Many of them have lots of longevity and lots of experience within their companies, are well connected inside, and have the ability to network with the appropriate people to produce this forecast as well as their monthly report.
Tony, how many respondents or panelists does the ISM use to develop the non-manufacturing report?
It's very similar. We have a total of, 350 respondents across the board. And, one thing to note is that when ISM, because it does perpetuate in the sense that when some people may change jobs or companies, and ISM, will always continue to recruit folks to be a participant on the business survey committees, that we look to include those respondents according to what the contribution to GDP from the respective industries are. So we try to get this the output as close as possible. That's why the ISM report on business maps so closely to GDP growth when you go back and look at it over a period of time.
And how about prices in the non-manufacturing side, Tony?
Well, similar to what Brad had reported on, it's, cost containment has been paramount for our respondents. And when you look at price increases across 2014, it was up 1.7%. And we didn't really see strong pricing other than in certain commodities, food commodities, and we saw petroleum and petroleum-based products also have strong pricing, and that has waned, as we have seen in the past few months. And what they're forecasting is pricing to increase 2.5% in 2015. That's in total. And it seems to be split almost evenly in the first half and second half of the year as far as these price increases. So they're saying they may go up a little bit. I think this is probably attributed to supply and demand. As we see, the projection for revenue to go up 10%, that's going to increase that demand out there and affect the supply, and we'll see some pricing affected by that. Still, we're not seeing strong pricing power out there. It's still competitive. Consumers are still very picky. They have choices. So it's it'll remain to be seen exactly where we wind up. But 2.5, I think, is a very realistic projection for prices for 2015.
Gentlemen, this is Lou, and not to be the naysayer or the contrarian, and I'm aware that probably out of the 350 plus individuals on your panel, there are things that may be going on in the country that these folks are not totally aware of. So their responses to your questions are in response to the question, not necessarily things that are going on in the country. So to take that one step point further before we break for a commercial break, there are things going on in the Los Angeles port, for example, that could have interference in our economy. And I don't know if you have any comments on that. Do you feel that any of that perhaps has any potential negative influence on what's projected for next year's financial situation here in the U.S.?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think that we have to look at, this pricing that's being forecasted here is in total, it's in totality, and that, there's always going to be the unforeseen, that, the mitigating circumstance that will arise. However, at the time of when we gathered the data from our respondents and what was reflected by them is that this is what they see. It's very hard to forecast the unknown, but still in that regard, at this point, not to try and defend the numbers, but to kind of explain that the derivative of these numbers is such that, again, it's looking at it in the aggregate across, the entire country, as you mentioned.
Well, we're going to take a commercial break, but I do want to come back to that point when we do come back, and we'll address that just for another few moments. And let's take it away for a commercial break.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
All Metals and Forge Group is an ISO 9001 AS and EN 9100 manufacturer of open die forgings and seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, copper, titanium, and nickel alloys. Visit us at steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
American Crane and Equipment Corporation in Douglasville, Pennsylvania is a leader in specialized cranes, hoists, and material handling equipment for industries including aerospace, nuclear, oil and gas, transit, construction, and waste handling. Call 877-877-6778 or visit AmericanCrane.com. That's AmericanCrane.com or 877-877-6778.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
We're back, and the question that I was left off at before our commercial break was about how potentially is the port issue going to be affecting the forecast and the U.S. economy going forward. I did want to mention also that on December 23rd, we are going to have a high-ranking individual from that world of the West Coast ports who will be able to give us, if it's not settled before then, will be able to give us some insight into what the real issues are and why there are slowdowns and striking events going on when people out there are earning between $100,000 a year and $300,000 a year and negatively affecting our country. So we will be talking about that on December 23rd, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com. And back to ISM and the latest forecast.
Brad, a question for you. This report, you take your monthly report and you share with our listeners that this number equates to a GDP of, and that's been pretty solid. What is this report forecasting for GDP for 2015, if it does?
Well, it doesn't specifically. Some of the metrics in that this is a forecast are different. We don't have an applicable correlation or lookup table for to answer your question. Mm-hmm. And so, right now, manufacturing rate is suggestive of about a 4% GDP increase for this year at the current time, and we're forecasting expansion and growth for next year. So we'll just have to see how that plays out, but again, it should be a good solid year.
And labor and cost benefits, I know, is the next section of this report. And, Brad, why don't you handle the manufacturing piece of it, and then we'll talk with Tony about the non-manufacturing piece of it.
Yeah, labor and benefits are expected to increase 3.2% in 2015. That's up about a point on the manufacturing side from this year. And I think that's consistent with what we've been hearing about the job market, unemployment situation improving, some skilled labor being difficult to find. So there's a little bit of leverage on the labor and benefit side, in favor of these kinds of increases and pay raises. But it's still such that we combine that with prices of raw materials up only 1.5%. Plenty of opportunity for margin expansion, as I've mentioned.
And Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing side? What does the annual forecast put out there for 2015 for labor and benefit costs?
Well, when you look at labor and benefit costs for non-manufacturing, They're projecting that it will go up 2.1% at the end of 2015 compared to the 2.6% that was predicted last year for 2014. And as Brad mentioned, you know, looking at the employment picture, we're looking at 1.7% for non-manufacturing, which seems, you know, not as robust as other areas of the report, but goes back to what we were saying as far as companies seem to be doing so much more with less as they've become more efficient, and what's reflected with the operating rate and everything else that associates with our respondents' feelings and forecasts for the non-manufacturing sector.
Brad, in this report, do you also ask respondents for questions, or do they give you comments as you have in the monthly reports?
Not in the normal sense, not in a similar way, but we did ask two special questions this time. One of those questions was with respect to companies that have signaled to us that they have more unfilled jobs than normal. And so we tried to poke a little bit more deeply into that question. And what we found was that on the manufacturing side, for those organizations that have reported having more unfilled jobs than usual in 2014, actually, you know, 39.5% said that they have a typical number of unfilled jobs. But our next response was that, you know, for those that have more unfilled jobs, they're having a harder time finding qualified applicants to fill those jobs, and that response rate was 28.8%. So, you know, finding qualified applicants is an issue. We've had comments along the way this year in that regard, and this just captions that point. So, you know, companies will work harder to find qualified applicants. There'll be more, you know, job hopping and training and all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing? I'm sorry, Brad.
No, go ahead.
Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing side? Or what are you hearing in terms of that special question?
Well, it's similar to manufacturing. Percentage breakout's a little bit different. For the same currently having the typical number of unfilled job openings, it's 46.5%, which is slightly higher than what was reported for manufacturing. And as far as qualified individuals, it's almost 10% less. It's at 19.1%, which is still, you know, a significant or a substantial percentage of going out there trying to find qualified applicants. So if we look in order, as it was answered for this special question, it lines up almost the same or exactly the same as manufacturing, just the percentage breakdown is a little different.
Mm-hmm. And just so our listeners keep in mind that the non-manufacturing sector is about 78% of the economy, so that 19% is of a 78% much bigger number. Lou?
Excuse me. I was looking at past shows that we've done regarding gray hairs, millennials, and the 600,000 vacant jobs in manufacturing, particularly today. And yet we are forecasting, and I'm not looking to defend the number, I'm just finding there's a disparity between the two, that the numbers are going up and yet our employment issues are remaining virtually the same. We have the same problems of not enough skilled labor. Training programs are they're coming online in various ways, but the question is, are they going to bring on enough skilled labor over the course of the next year to be able to absorb the reshoring that is going on and the increase in general manufacturing? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but this is certainly a dilemma that we are hearing. And we heard last week from Kevin Wolf at Powell Manufacturing and also American Crane, where they were talking about their employment issues and the things that they're doing to bring in new labor to be able to handle the influx of business, especially power manufacturing, who is in the aerospace industry, and aerospace is really a booming sector right now, and it certainly takes a lot more training for aerospace component parts than it does other types of industries. So again, I guess I'm coming back to the same question. How are we going to be able to fulfill the forecast with these same issues that have been plaguing us for some time and may well continue for a while? So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm just looking for your opinions.
Well, you make a great point with, you know, the gray-haired folks. And I noticed that looking in the mirror this morning, trying to... you know, retire, and that will present obviously some additional challenges for filling those jobs. So, but, you know, on the bright side, we know that, you know, the American economy and manufacturing and non-manufacturing, you know, very creative, you know, people and organizations, they find a way to overcome these obstacles and take advantage of the growth opportunity that's there.
So, Brad, what's the change in overall employment forecast for 2015?
1.5% in 2015 for manufacturing. That's, you know, a very similar number to this year and recent times. So 1.5% is what's forecast. It's like Tony mentioned, it's not a big number, and it does also suggest on our side that we're doing more with less. We've heard that now for years and years and years. That continues to be the case, where the capital expenditures provide, you know, technical solutions and equipment solutions to be able to accommodate more volume with less relative labor.
Mm-hmm. How about, Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing side?
Well, as I mentioned, when looking at employment going up 1.7%, I think Lou had a great question in regards to the availability of skilled, qualified people. And as we see the jobs report that came out and, you know, all the new jobs being added, but again, a lot of the additions to the economy are in mid-level, you know, service industry type jobs. It's not the technically advanced, high-skilled jobs that we've seen in the past. Some of those jobs have disappeared. We won't see them come back. Some people have left the workforce, and they'll never re-enter the workforce in the same fashion that they left. We're seeing more entrepreneurialism, but overall, you know, it becomes a more overreaching question than just specifically to our semi-annual forecast. But in looking at it, companies have, as Brad mentioned, become accustomed to doing more with less. Some economists have felt that this has been a correction, that we were maybe a little bit heavy in certain areas. But when you go through the transformation that many of these companies have, you also tend to glean out some skills of individuals that does negatively impact these respective companies within these industries. So hopefully, based on where we are capacity-wise and what we're seeing, that this will push, you know, more for a better picture for the employment arena. So hopefully we'll see this go up even more than what is being predicted and forecasted by our respondents.
Do you feel as though that the technology increase in improvements and robotics and 3D printing and all of the new aspects of manufacturing will actually wind up having a positive effect, where the gray hairs who are leaving and the millennials who were looking for $100,000 desk jobs, it might be a moot point? that maybe we really don't have a 600,000 person shortage in manufacturing. Maybe that's what we believe.
Yeah.
And in fact, technology is absorbing.
Yeah, I think technology is getting more and more interesting, each year, and it's able to do some amazing things, as we all know. You mentioned 3D printing, but simply, digital technology and the ability to enhance the shop floor in amazing ways continues. So one way or another, manufacturing will solve these problems. They always have lots of ingenuity everywhere, and I'm not sure how it's going to be done, but I'm sure that manufacturing will overcome these things and, as I said, be able to take advantage of the sales growth opportunity that's in front of them.
Well, I can sleep well at night after hearing that. Thank you. I think we have a commercial break coming up here in a moment or so. Tim, do you have anything before we take that break?
Well, I don't know if you want to do that early, and then we'll come back and get into exports, because that exports and imports are going to be the next big area that certainly you're going to be watching. We're going to be watching in terms of the show, Lou, because what we see is a disruption in the West Coast that could affect 30% of GDP if it isn't resolved fairly quickly, because that's the amount of imports and exports in the country. So we can take a commercial break now and interrupt that discussion, or keep that discussion whole, or we can to put part of it now or part of it later, however you want to call it.
Let's go to a break.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
All Metals and Forge Group manufactures open die forgings in blocks, hubs, shafts, flanges, cylinders, gear blanks, and custom forge shapes, including seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, nickel alloys, copper and titanium for parts and assemblies in aerospace, oil and gas exploration, defense, machinery, transportation, shipbuilding, energy and power, pulp and paper, and many other industries. Visit steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
It's no secret that manufacturers are having trouble filling jobs. Now, with ThomasNet's new job board, help is on the way. For manufacturers, ThomasNetJobs.com is the go-to resource to recruit new talent. Post your jobs and get in front of thousands of potential employees. Or, if you're looking for a new job or you want to reinvent yourself, ThomasNetJobs.com offers exciting opportunities from the shop floor to the C-suite in supply chain management, engineering, production, or sales. Remember, ThomasNetJobs.com.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio. We are here with Brad Holcomb, who is the chair of the Manufacturing Report on Business, and Tony Nieves, who is the chair of the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business. And we're about to get into the area of exports in the report. So, Brad, how do exports look for 2015?
In terms of exports, we ask our panel to focus on the first half of 2015 in terms of their expectations, and we reduce their responses to our diffusion index, which shows the direction and strength of change. And so for 2015, our diffusion index for exports in the first half of the year is 72.6%, a pretty strong number, and that compares with the prediction for 2014 first half from a year ago of 71.7%. So it's up about a point, and as you know, we've had good, strong export reports this year. I think 24 consecutive months. So certainly this year and all of last year of growth in exports, And this is certainly a continuation of that, and perhaps a little bit of a bump.
And Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing side?
Well, on the non-manufacturing side, we have 29% of our respondents indicate that they export, they report on exports. And looking at the diffusion index from the first half of 2014, what was predicted last December, the index came in at 62.8%, not as strong as what we see on the manufacturing side. And then what is predicted for 2015 is now 66%. So they're saying that exports have increased, year over year. And looking at it, the export is exported out of non-manufacturing is always the question that's posed to me. And most often it's in the technology arena, it's in the consulting arena. When I say technology, it's information, it's the architecture, the know-how, it's the knowledge management. We also see it in the professional, scientific, and technical services arena, as well as the management of companies. So those are the primary industries that actually export for the non-manufacturing sector.
And I should add on the manufacturing side that exports largely represent finished products going overseas.
So when we have our show on the 23rd regarding the L.A. port issue, I think that we'll introduce your numbers with the individual that we will be interviewing and seeing what he feels or how he feels if the strike is still going on by then, which it's looking like it will go through Christmas, New Year's, especially being that Washington is not getting involved in this at all. See if they have any insight into the negative aspect and how it might impact your forecast numbers. Hopefully it won't come to that, but I the way things are going and this port issue has actually been going on now, I believe, since June or July. Am I correct, Tim?
Yeah, actually the contract expired July 1st. It didn't really begin to heat up badly until the holiday rush. Really, those goods start coming in August through October. And right around the end of October, Pacific Maritime Association claims that the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union began to slow down containers coming off ships, and that's now kind of backing up container storage ships on the ocean. As you mentioned, Lou, the other day, there are 50 or 60 container ships bobbing around on the Pacific.
Well, even if those ships now do come in, they don't have hardware to haul it away. The truckers have, to a great extent, left Los Angeles because there's no work or very little work. And also the U.S. railroad industry has stopped sending trains out to the West Coast to pick up freight to bring it back to the Midwest or the East Coast. So it is really a major problem, and we have been talking, gentlemen, to a lot of our customers for All Metals and Forge Group who really are not aware to how severe this situation is becoming, and the fact that I think the only mainstream media that I think has been talking about it at all has been CNBC. None of the others have picked up on it. They've been talking about unrest in the cities and the Mideast scenario. But this directly affects us today, and I find it shocking that nobody has, except for us, no one has picked up on it and made any noise about it. I know you're in the news business of sorts. Have you heard any of this at all?
You know, I congratulate you for bringing this to everyone's attention because, from my perspective, you're absolutely right. The mainstream media has been very quiet, and I'm not sure why that is, but it's obviously an important issue. And I think it's one that really isn't necessarily factored into our numbers, as I think Tony and I have mentioned. It's important that our ports remain open, so hopefully that will get resolved. It'll be interesting to hear from your next guest later in the month with more details on that. Let's cover imports quickly and then wrap up in a few minutes. On the manufacturing side, when we talk about imports, we're talking about largely imports of raw materials and to some extent sub-assemblies. A year ago, our diffusion index on the import side was 63.5% predicted in 2013 for the first half of 2014. That's jumped up nearly 3 points for 2015 first half to 66.1%. So a little bit of a boost there, and we have seen imports growing for, I think it's 22 consecutive months. So this is a prediction for continuation of the same and perhaps a little bit more.
Tony, how is the non-manufacturing side look in terms of imports?
Well, one thing about imports for non-manufacturing, it does include tangible goods as well as services, and 42% of our respondents do import. And looking at what was reflected for the first half of 2014, predicted last year was 59.2%, and even with reshoring efforts, we're going to see the imports grow to 67.6%. That's what's predicted for the first half of 2015 for non-manufacturing.
Well, Brad, we'll be interested as the monthly reports begin to come out how the import situation looks, because I know that we import a lot of chemical products, rubber and plastics that go into manufacturing. Tony, I'm sure there's imports that come in on your side as well that impact those respondents from the survey. So we'll keep an eye on that as your monthly reports come out. How about the business revenues? What do those look like moving forward?
Revenues on the manufacturing side, again, up 5.6%. That's a healthy increase for 2015. And again, that's 2 percentage points higher than we're reporting as actuals or really predicted for the entire year 2014.
And on the non-manufacturing side, Tony?
What we saw in 2014 was a 5.1% increase, up from what was predicted at 2.7%, and a very robust 10% is forecasted for 2015.
That's certainly robust. That's excellent. And let me remind our listeners that this report, which came out just after 10 o'clock this morning, is available at www.ism.ws, as are the monthly reports. But you certainly want to get your hands on a copy of this report so that you can review it. And it looks like profit margins will also do fairly well next year. Is that right, Brad?
Yes, if you kind of put these numbers side by side, look at the input numbers of prices of raw materials at 1.5%, labor and benefits at 3.2%. Those are not additive, of course. They're in proportion to the composition of manufacturing. But with revenues up 5.6%, then there's certainly plenty of room for margin expansion and good profitability, which will help tremendously.
And on the non-manufacturing side, Tony, how do profit margins look?
Profit margins look good. It's definitely, as Brad said, we're increasing from what was reported last December for April through November was a 52.5% diffusion index, now up to 60%, which indicates that more is drilling to the bottom line when you take into consideration the cost of goods sold, cost of services, and washed against the revenues.
Brad, let's talk about a business comparison, the first half of 2015 compared to the last half of 2014. How does your annual forecast, and just to remind our listeners, it will be updated in April, And correct me if that's going to be April or May, Brad. How does it look for manufacturing?
Well, for manufacturing, again, the last half of 2014 is the base on which we asked this question. And relative to the first half, we found that 48% of our respondents said it was going to be better in the first half next year, 43% said same, and only 9% worse. And that gives us an overall diffusion index of 69.5.
And on the non-manufacturing side, Tony, how did your respondents compare last half of 2014 with the first half of 2015?
Well, the diffusion index actually came in the same. It came in at 71%. When you look at the only difference is because of how the diffusion index is compiled, for predicted in December of 2014, we're seeing 47% saying better and 48% the same with 5% worse. And when you're looking at, and that's for the second half, and when you're looking at the first half of 2015 versus the last half, it's a 50% better, 42% the same, and 8% worse. And as I mentioned, you know, not to be redundant, but still 71% diffusion index. So that's a very good number as far as the outlook is concerned.
And, Brad, now we're going to push the envelope a little bit, but it's in your report, the second half of 2015 compared with the first half in manufacturing.
Yes. Again, the first half diffusion index, 69.5. Our second half diffusion index is 67, so down just a touch. By the individual responses, 44%. Said the second half of 2015 would be better than the first half. That's 44%. 46% said same, and 10% worse. So 67%, that's down a couple percentage points from the diffusion index roll-up for the first half. And, you know, that's interesting relative to, I think, recent years where the second half was generally predicted to be better than the first half. This is about even, Stephen, if you will.
Okay. Now, I know you asked two special questions in the report, and we kind of jumped forward and talked about one of them in terms of jobs. The second one is on reshoring, Brad. Give our listeners how that question was phrased and what your respondents said in terms of that special question.
Right. We asked this next special question as to whether organizations plan on reshoring significant volumes of manufacturing or business processes in 2015. And for manufacturing, 10.4% responded, yes, they do plan to reshore significant volumes. But 58.8% responded no, with the remaining 30.8% indicating not applicable. So of the 58.8, nearly 60% of respondents which said no, the reasons for saying no was, number one, that the cost advantage of offshoring was still too favorable. That came in at 53.7% of the total. The next most popular response was shortage of usable plant asset capacity in the U.S. at only 6.5%. Shortage of labor was next at only 1.9%. Cost of transition too high, 12%. So that's a meaningful number. Mm-hmm. Political commitment to the host country, 3.7%, and other 22.2%. So again, the top two responses in terms of which response was indicated as their main reason. Number one, cost advantage of offshoring still too favorable, and number two, cost of transition too high.
And Tony, how about on the non-manufacturing side?
Well, the non-manufacturing side lined up in the same order as manufacturing. Percentage breakdown is slightly different. Cost advantage of offshoring still too favorable at 52.1%. shortage of usable plant asset capacity in the U.S. is at 6.3%. Shortage of applicable labor in the U.S. at 2.1%. Cost of transition too high at 10.4%. And political commitment to the host country, 12.5%, which is quite high considering the when you look at the overall breakdown. And then other is at 16.7%.
I have a question, and I am sure that there are those out in listening land also don't follow the statement about the political commitment to the host country. Could you explain that to our listeners?
Well, on the non-manufacturing side, especially when you're looking at, as I mentioned, the industry breakdown, information and technology, knowledge management, the professional scientific technical services, management of companies, those are all high-touch areas when it comes to relationships and relationship building and making sure that that you are aligned with the municipalities, the government agencies that exist in those, you know, geographic regions across the globe. So, in essence, for non-manufacturing, it's all about the relationship building and making sure there is that commitment to the host country.
Tony, is there? I know that there's so much more that we could go into on this report, but in summary, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners as we begin to wrap up the show? And then I want to go to Brad with this same question.
I'm sorry, as far as...
The report overall, Tony, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners other than they really should get a copy of it because there's a lot we weren't able to cover in this short time?
Well, I think that we didn't maybe drill into a lot of the detail on some of these, but we did get a really good overview of what the report is about. And when you look at, you know, most importantly, in summary, looking at non-manufacturing and how our respondents feel about the direction of the economy, and the overall attitude is that it's mostly positive. We've had 89% of the respondents predicting that 2015 will be the same or better as 2014. We see that reflected in the monthly report on business, and we're seeing that in the semiannual forecast. And, you know, taking into consideration, you know, geopolitical concerns, as was mentioned here about the port over here in California, and I can tell you, residing here in California, it's not making front page news here, and I'm sitting here. So it's definitely flying below the radar. But putting that all aside, respondents do feel that 2015 is going to be a good year, and that there is definitely more confidence by respondents as to the direction of the economy and overall business condition.
Well, and I know you both you gentlemen have to run. Tony, I want to thank you for being on the show. And Brad, I want to go to you for kind of a wrap-up of this annual forecast for our listeners.
Yeah, we can summarize manufacturing by looking at the responses on the outlook for the next 12 months. Again, 93% of our respondents indicated that 2015 will be better or the same as 2014. That produces an overall diffusion index of 75.5, and that compares very favorably to the diffusion index from a year ago for 2014 of 65.5. So it's a full 10 percentage points above the expectations a year ago, and so it's very much an optimistic picture that we're painting, and we hope that, you know, all other, you know, issues, as you mentioned, the port strike and everything else, just gets resolved and is attenuated so that we can take advantage of this bullish forecast.
Gentlemen, I'd really like to thank the two of you for being here today, and it certainly was informative, and everyone should go get their own copy at ism.ws. Also, those of you who have not listened to the entire show here, You can listen to it in about an hour and a half from now, and you'll be able to listen to the entire show at mfgtalkradio.com. And I think we are coming up to a wrap. And Tim, thank you much. And we'll see you again next week. Take care, folks.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.